Romans 6:14. In the first five chapters, Paul has established that we are justified by faith alone. Not by works, not by merit, not by anything, but that Christ died for us. To be justified means to be made right before God. Now in chapter 6, he talks about living out that life on earth. And of course, he's going to show us that that must be done by grace. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Last week we explored this verse, and today we're going to do part two in continuing to explore the truth of 6:14. You are not, sin shall not have dominion over you, be your master, be your God, rule your life, for you are not under law, but under grace. And remember that the word under implies being under an authority. Being under law, law's your authority. Being under grace, grace is your authority. So we are under grace. And that's a position. As we enter this life, we are said to be in Adam, under sin, in spiritual death, in darkness, and so on. Now we have been transferred to a new kingdom, a new realm. We're no longer in Adam, we are in Christ. We are no longer in darkness, we are in light. We are no longer in spiritual death, we are in spiritual life. We are no longer under law, we are under grace. That's a transfer. We're in a new kingdom, in a new realm. It's a new life. And as we explored that last week, we talked briefly about the nature of grace. Who remembers the definition of grace? What is it? Unmerited favor that God has blessed, bestowed, given favor to man who does not deserve it. The only way there can be grace is to have people who are undeserving. Well, all God has on this earth are undeserving sinners, so he can exert his grace, and he has done so. And that gift is the forgiveness of sin and eternal life through Christ our Lord. Now, on the back of the bulletin, you have an outline, and we're going to move to the second part today, where we look at the place of man in grace, and we're just going to run through these things together. So think with me about these great truths of the place of man in grace. Or how do you live the Christian life today? You live it from the standpoint of grace. Now, the first thought about this is that man under grace is totally, fully, completely acceptable and made worthy in Christ. We are not Christians trying to climb a ladder to become worthy or to become acceptable to God. That has already been established because Christ is perfectly acceptable and we are in him. So that's where we live. That is our position. The second thought about that is that we are not on probation. God did not come and save us, forgive us, give us eternal life, and then see how we're going to live. and say, if you live good enough, then you will continue in this acceptance. That is not biblical whatsoever. We are not on probation. We are free and accepted in Christ. Third thought. As far as our position is concerned, the past life, the old position of being in Adam and under sin does not exist before God. The new position is what exists in His presence. And because Christ died for us, we have this position. Our life is Christ. Another thought, that when God bestows grace, confers grace upon a human being, it is never withdrawn. You can never go back to the old position. You can never lose the forgiveness of sin or the gift of eternal life because it's established in Christ. It's not by what we do or don't do. So these are some positions or declarations of truth about our position. Now, what should our attitude be then about this? With this great truth upon our life, what do we do under grace? We believe it and we receive it. The grace of God does nothing of benefit to anyone unless you believe it. Grace isn't going to help you unless you believe it. Unless you believe what God says about His grace, not going to touch your life. You have to believe it. And then you receive it. And receiving is one of the important things about being a Christian. Because all we can do is receive from God His great gifts. He gives, we receive. Believe the grace of God, receive the grace of God this morning, and live in it. Now, another thought about our attitude is to consent to be loved while we're unworthy. That's hard for us. Because of pride. We want to think of ourselves as worthy. That we deserve something. The only way to get along with God is to consent to have Him love you while you're unworthy. And that's a thing that can only be done by the grace of God in our hearts. Another thought is to refuse to make resolutions or vows of telling God you're going to do better. When you do that, it reveals you're not satisfied with what God has done for you, and you have to improve on what He's doing. And you can't improve on what He's doing, so don't come with vows or resolutions to God that you're going to do better. Accept what He's done for you and trust that He will work in your life. Another thought that we have under grace is not only these contentments, but to hope to do better is to fail to see ourselves in Christ. We don't hope to do better. We're thankful for what He's done for us, and that touches our life. To be disappointed with ourselves is to be self-centered rather than Christ-centered. Now, of course, there are moments of disappointment, but when a person wallows in that and lives in that, always thinking about self, poor me, and so on. That is being self-centered rather than grace-centered and Christ-centered. The same thing is true of discouragement or depression. It's certain that all of us are going to be discouraged. It's certain that all of us are going to have times of depression. But to remain in discouragement and depression is to be self-centered rather than grace-centered. So we need the grace of God in our life, and we need to put that first. Which comes first in your thought life? Yourself or the grace of God in you? The grace of God in you is the only proper place from which to live. Now, here's another thought that is important for us as we think of God's working in our life. We tend to think that if we put devotion first, then God will bless us. If we read our Bibles enough, if we pray enough, if we get to church enough, if we are good enough, then God will bless us. Now, the opposite is true. God blesses us, and therefore we respond to His word and to prayer and to devotion. God is not depending upon what we do in order to bless us. God blesses us out of Himself because He wants to, even when we are unworthy. So we talk about relationships of unconditional love with each other. That's the only way a marriage ever works, is with unconditional love. This is the way God works in our life. To accept His unconditional love, His unconditional blessing, while we don't deserve it, because that's grace. And if you mix anything with grace, it's no longer grace. Paul says that in Romans 11. There are some things in life that don't mix. Grace and works do not mix. If you try to put them together, you don't have grace or you don't have works. It's one or the other. And Paul is calling upon us as believers to respond to the grace of God, accept His unconditional blessing, and live there from the standpoint of the great position. The way to live the Christian life is to live off the basis of God's commitment to us, not ours to Him. But because we live in a world of works and merit orientation, and because the preponderance of Christian teaching today is from that same perspective, we tend to live thinking of that our commitment to Him is going to carry us through, and it won't, because we are like yo-yos. We are yo-yo Christians. We are up and down because we rely on ourselves. And so we need to live off the strength of His commitment and enjoy the grace that God has given us. And that grace is the salvation itself. We are forgiven of our sin, past, present, future. And that is an established position. We do have eternal life, and heaven is a certainty. And from our standpoint of position, we carry the assurance that eternal life is ours now and for the future, and that we have been justified by faith, made right with God, and we live off the strength of that, because God has given us a faithful calling. This is simply to recognize what God has said in His Word, that salvation has given us a divine reconciliation. We are brought back into a friendship, a personal relationship with God that is real and that is a blessing to us. It's not a human regulation. It's not a human rule, but it's a divine blessing. The grace of God is greater than all our sin. This morning when we were singing A Wonderful Grace of Jesus, the chorus had a phrase that just struck me this morning, where we sang, "Broader than the scope of my transgressions is the wonderful grace of Jesus. Bigger and better and gooder than our sin is the grace of God." That's the truth of God's Word. Let's not wallow in selfism. Let's bathe and bask in the grace of God and thereby grow. You never grow by wallowing in self. You grow by living off the strength of God's commitment to you and His grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be real in our hearts this morning. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word and for the position You've given us now, taking us out of being under sin, under the law, under self, and transferring us into the kingdom of Your Son, into the kingdom of grace and light and truth and life itself. Thank You for the great gifts of grace, and may we respond with thankful hearts and serve You heartily and faithfully in the days that we have on this earth. And may Jesus Christ be honored. Amen.